There is a couple of subjects that we need help with. There was a lot of teaching today. It started with the Trinity, and then it sort of ended in doing the will of God. So it went from Trinity to the way of salvation. Now I have to say, that's okay, but it was two specific subjects. So the very first thing I need to do is I need to just help you and crack a few things about the Trinity. And then the second thing I'm going to do is help you understand the way of salvation according to Scripture. Okay? Are you ready? And let me ask you a question. Can I help you? Do you want help? Pay close attention. Because I can bring it to you, but we need the Holy Spirit to bless it to your soul. Otherwise, you just become a little bit more knowledgeable, but there's no power in it. Trinity. It means three in one. And there's a very specific reason why we are taught the doctrine of Trinity. The reason why we need to know the doctrine of Trinity is because we need to know that Jesus Christ is one with God. See, most Christianity, a lot of Christianity, they acknowledge Jesus Christ as a good man, a prophet, a miracle worker, someone who has a good relationship with God. But most Christianity do not acknowledge from out of their heart that Jesus Christ is God. The problem is, if we don't believe that He is God, we also cannot receive Him as our Savior. Because nobody can save us out of our misery. We are in deep trouble. We are full of sin and full of rebellion. We don't know God. We might think we know God, but we don't. That's why this confession said, God is holy, God is righteous, God is justice. Remember all those things he was reading? The book was trying to teach us is, you and me have, we can't even get to God. We can't understand God. We can't even know God. He is so great. He's from eternity, that means he doesn't have a beginning. That means he doesn't have an end. He is far above our thoughts. So the point is, the book is trying to say, you and me, the way we are, we don't have a relationship with God. Neither can we go to Him to have a relationship with God. separates us from God. What separates us?
Sin.
And particularly, it happened in disobedience with our father Abel. So Adam was walking in the garden. He felt God. He heard God. He had relationships with God. He just talked and God could talk back. But then when Adam and Eve ate from the tree, God said this, go out from me.
Away
from me. I can't know you anymore. And they went out of the garden. And what God means by that is we have no more communion. Suddenly, God stays holy, but we become unholy. God stays righteous, but we become unrighteous. God lives on, but we die. So we are totally separated from God. Now, if that's true, and if we believe that, then simply there is no hope for us. We're finished. God says, I don't want to ever see you again. That's it. Done.
That's it.
We're being born, we're in unrighteousness and sin, and we're all going lost. We're all going to hell. Because Satan also fell away from God. Okay? Are you okay with that? You're okay to go to hell?
No.
But you have to. There's no other way. We cannot come back to God. I'm so sorry. So when you go to the grave, even if you're a child, they say your body is not.
You decompose,
and your soul goes to sleep. I'm sorry, that
works.
How would you go home? You know, so this is the point. Because you're saying, right now you're saying, no. You're saying, no. There has to be another way. And you would be right. And that's why the teaching ended with we have to do His will. We got to find a way to get out of this curse. That's why I'm going to be answering her question. So we say, okay, so if this is true, we believe it's true that we have no communion with God, we're away from God. People have done this for generations. They have said, oh, if I'm away from God, how do I get back to God? How? Do His commandments. Oh, I have to do His commandments. He tells me not to steal. You know what that's called?
A false gospel.
It's not true.
You can't do anything to have communion with God again. Someone else has to take your place. Now the gospel says this. The gospel comes to your ears. And it says something. It tells you something. It says there's a different way, an other way to have communion back with God again. What is that way? Let me see if you can help me. There's another way to be to have a relationship with God. It can come back.
But what does this word say that way is?
How many?
That is it. Receiving Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior.
Sorry?
Receiving Christ as your personal Lord and Savior.
Okay. So if it's through receiving Christ as your personal Savior, why did we say before it's to do His commandments?
My friend, you're giving two different ways now.
We said before we have to do His will.
For Christ is not coming to oppose the commandments, but He is coming to us so that He will give us the ability to do the will of the Lord with power from Him.
See,
was on ourselves, we failed already. We couldn't manage to follow them.
Exactly. So if we failed already, how can we do them?
The thing is that when you accept that I'm a failure, I have failed before God and everything else, and you come humbly before Christ, then you tell Christ that I have tried my best and I have failed it all. Then I want to rely on you. Then Christ will say, if you want to be part of me, then be a born again. Then you will be transformed to be a born again. Once you're a born again, then He does the things you were not achieving yourself in you. He does them in you Himself.
Okay. Let's take a step back. Because now I'm going to come more to the question and give the answer of this one.
They're gonna want to front me again for that to
go back to being away from God. No possibility for communion with
them.
And the gospel comes and says there is a way back to have communion with
them.
But how? Because the law is saying if you do this,
If you do against my law, you must die.
If one of you are going to be able to do it, you will be able to do it. You will be able to do it.
Romans says you are better to do the whole law. This means that the law is testifying against us. So the punishment of sin to satisfy the law is death.
So kilango cha chimo kuti manola jamaritsire kuti we kuda chimali kumanya mukufe.
Now, precisely why is the gospel so rich? It's because either you and I have to pay for our sins to satisfy the law, or someone else has to take our place. Someone else has to take our place. Now, the problem is this. Who can take my place? Where would the possibility lie that I can go free while someone else takes my place? Because Omri can't take my place. Because he has his own sins. He can't take my place. And if someone's going to take my place, that someone has to be pure and holy. So that means there's only one. There's one person who can take my
place.
Now you're going to really quickly say, yeah, Jesus Christ. But wait. The only one who can take my place is God. Not in the first place, Jesus Christ. I'm getting to the doctrine of Trinity. But the only one person who is holy and just and righteous is God. It's the only one. So God has to take my place so that the law can be satisfied. Are you following?
Yeah.
Now, when we say God will take my place, we have to now begin to understand who is God. Because I know that I don't know who God is because I'm separated from Him. So that poses me with a new problem. If God can take my place, but I don't even know who He is, how is this going to work? That's where we teach the doctrine of the Trinity. We need to go further. It's not just about this one man, Jesus Christ, who is a nice man, a loving man. We need to go further. So for you and me, there's something more particular that has to happen in our lives. And it was a problem with the disciples. It was a problem with the people when the Lord Jesus was walking around. And it's a problem with me and you. Because when the gospel that Lord Jesus is a miracle worker. Believe that the Lord Jesus is a loving man. Believe that the Lord Jesus wants to save you. Those are all possibilities. But it doesn't say, it doesn't help you at all. Listen carefully, please. Please listen very carefully to me. Because this is your salvation. And I'm afraid that many of you are still in a lost state. And you have a fantasy about Jesus Christ, but you don't know who he is. So listen further. When Jesus Christ came on the earth and was born of the Virgin Mary, he began to walk through the villages. And what did he say? My friends, he's saying the same thing today to you. He's walking through the villages. He's not walking through the villages and saying, I'm going to help everybody. You'll get corn. Bags of it. I'm going to make sure that your husband doesn't beat you anymore. I'm a very nice man. What was he saying? He was saying this. Repent. He was telling the people in the villages. When he was going through the villages, he was preaching. And he was telling the people, you're in trouble. He was saying to the people, you have many husbands. He was saying, I see you at night time. It's the same thing that happens to them. And he was saying, the law says, do not steal. And the people were like, who is he? But what else was he doing? He was proving something. And what was he trying to prove? He was telling about a gospel that could free you from that curse that burden that is heavy. You look nice. Man, you look nice. Okay? You have a very nice tie. Nice tie. Look at all those nice locks. And we're going to walk out today, we're going to make Sima. We're going to have lots of conversations. But that's not reality. Because without Jesus Christ, we're walking like this. We can make ourselves look nice. But you are in pain. You are tired. You are a sinner. We are lost. And everything around us is telling that. Look around us. Pain. And you're getting older. And you're getting more wrinkles. You're going to the grave. And it's painful. And we see all around us. Crocodile. Why? This crocodile is God's creation. 37 people, or over 30 people on a boat, a hippo, boom, in the water. People getting hit on the road. They're sick. They're in pain. Some people are missing legs or missing arms. Headaches.
George.
Malaria.
I can
keep going. You see, Jesus Christ was saying this.
Yes, I'm out of
it. He was saying this is because of our of your sins.
I'm out of this very good of God.
Jesus Christ was saying this to the people.
Yes, I'm out of it.
You don't know God. But I know him.
I know him.
I know him. And I can connect you back with God. And then you know what he said? I am the Son of God. I am God. There was a few people
around
there. And they were already seeking. Does anyone know who?
When
Jesus Christ was a baby?
Maybe
it's not
a rock hand, I want you to
be. Who was it?
Anali Dan.
What do we read? What do we read in the beginning? When the baby was just born and dedicated by the temple? Can someone help me?
You must have heard this.
If you're going to church teaching, you must have heard this. Can you help me? Can someone help me?
I've been asking you.
When the Lord Jesus was born, who came to the temple? To glorify
him.
We will go to God's word, so that way we'll know where it is as well. Do you know Anna? Do you know the story of Anna? Let's go to
Nakandi Mamuna Wagi Yandira
So there's a little bit. And Simeon comes in?
Then Simeon
takes a little bit.
Then Simeon is like,
and he says, now let your servant go in peace. What did Simeon see in the vision? Did he have a badge that said, the Son of God? It was just a little bit. You see, because Jesus Christ, when he came to the earth, he was God. The little baby, 3 days old. Simeon was only God.
Are you
following me? Simeon had God in his arms. When there was no way of return to God, God came back to the people. And then in the form of a body. God took on the human flesh and became God man. That's why the Trinity is so necessary and important. Jesus Christ was not just a man and in the likeness of God. See, many people believe that. They said, oh, he's a prophet. He's representing God. And many people believe that today too. Jesus Christ is such a good man, he represents God. That's not true. He is God. He is God, man, come together. And now, from eternity, God said, the only way that the people are going to be saved is if I, God, become man. So we have no way back to him. We can't get back to him. He says, don't ever come back to me again. This is the salvation that Simeon is speaking about. While God says, don't ever come back to me, he comes back to me. He comes back to us. God, man. But if he was just merely a representative of God, then he wouldn't be able to save us. See, this is exactly why the Lord Jesus was constantly saying, while he was on earth, I am the Son of God. That's why he was saying that. He says, you don't believe that I am God. And the people say, you're a blasphemous man. See, ma'am, now I'm starting to get to the answer. And I wanted to take him. You say you're God? You blasphemous man. And he said, I am God. And I'm coming to save you. And I beat him. They took up stone. This man is blaspheming God. And Jesus Christ says, But I am God.
Yes, I was a woman.
And my Father has sent me to help you. It's the same today. Because if you don't believe he's the Son of God, and that he's God himself, you're doing the same thing. Now I need you to listen so carefully right now.
Okay.
Do you know how we stoned him? We just stoned him this morning. My friend, do you believe that?
If
we had stones in our hands this morning, ready to stone him. And I know you're saying, what? That's why I'm saying, please pay attention. And drop your stones. How do we stone him today? It's we stone him by believing a false gospel. Because that's what they were doing then. They were walking
to my end.
Jesus Christ says, you're an adulterer.
Yes, we saw the power of the
Lord. He said, no, I'm not.
Yes, we're going to find the Lord.
I'm a believer.
In the Lord, we're going to find the
I'm a good person.
No, no, no,
I'm
a good
person. Yes,
I'm a good person.
You're wicked. And they became angry. But that's exactly like today. Because there's people here who believe that I need to do his will. And his will is that I have to do my best to do the commandments. And if I don't do his commandments, then he will do something for me. And that's how we
stone
him.
Yes, we stone
him. Yes, we stone him.
Yes, we
stone him.
Yes, we stone him. Yes,
that's how we're stoning him every time. My friends, you know what's happening today in
the Bible?
I'll give you some examples. We're hiding
adultery,
right? So let's give an example. You have children. And you left a man
there.
But you're a Christian. You go to church. For 1,000 bucks, a thing happened. He sneaks out again. Then you say, then I think you do this, right? Lord, forgive me. Because that very man who goes and sneaks into the
home,
he goes home into his house,
and
he does the same thing. He goes on his
way.
You know, and when we look around us, and we're opposed by the sugar cane, and nobody's looking,
And what you're saying today is that when we do that, as long as we go on our knees and repent and say we're sorry to the Lord, then everything's okay. You know what the problem is? You don't need God in your life. And the woman said, why did the Lord have to suffer? Why? Because they wouldn't believe in him. What would they believe? They didn't believe that he was the Son of God. And that he himself was going to fulfill the law for sinners. Going to tell you again. I told you a few times now in my preaching. As long as you are reading the law, to think that God expects you to keep the law, you're stoning Christ. You're killing him. You're rejecting him. You're saying, I will do myself. And if I fail, then God will just help you. No, the law is given to tell us how bad it is. And to drive us to the law giver, who is God? Are you following? God is the lawgiver. Not Jesus Christ. That's why Trinity is so necessary. You see, in spirit, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Father are one lawgiver. They're one in that. But now that you look over here, there's three different persons. They all equal in one God. And when we need salvation, we can't go to this one God. We're barred from it. But we can go to the three persons who make one God. And that's why Trinity is so important. You know, so now a sinner, maybe today, goes to the three persons and prays, forgive me. Do you know what the one person says? Follow me for a minute. I'm trying to make it as plain as I can. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we couldn't go to all three of them at once as one God. But we come to the three persons of God. And who are we going to go to first?
I can help you.
That's what everyone thinks. That's what
and I appreciate your honest answer. Everyone thinks when we go to God for help that we're going to Christ. It's not true. We go to the first person. We go to the very first person. That's who we had a relationship with. In paradise. Remember who he was in paradise? What do we read? Who he is in paradise? He is a father.
Paradiso
me
alade.
Now let me ask you something. When you were children, and you have a father and a mother, and brothers, listen carefully. This is so important for your soul. Listen carefully. Don't look there. Don't worry about that. When you have a father and mother, when you're a child, and you have brothers, and you need something, you have to ask it. You want something. Are you going to your brother? Who are you going to? Mother or father? That's okay. Either mother or father. Right? So we're going to Father first. When you're in trouble, when the Holy Spirit is working in the preaching of the word, you're hearing the demand of the law.
You feel tired.
Because you feel God, I'm away from God. And you can't go to God as the one. So you go, you look in God's word, and you go back to God in the three persons, and you come to the Father. Father, I read in your word, and I hear the preaching. And it says, we used to have a relationship with you. And everything was perfect. And everything was pure. But I feel so much pain now. And I'm hurting. And I'm sick. And I'm lonely. And I'm ready to die. And your Bible says I can come back to you. How do I have communion with you again? Father does. Does anyone know? What's the answer of the Father? In Scripture. You don't even have to quote Scripture. It's all over the place. What does he say? When you go to him. Even though you maybe don't even understand that it's Father. What does he say?
How you are teaching, my understanding is going by me. If you go to the Father, then the Father will remind me about his son. Say, you have my son there.
Exactly.
It's the same.
When you're at the Father, the Father says this. I can't help you. Because I am holy.
If I didn't know you me.
But I can tell you a way.
But you understand, you know,
go to my son. That's what the Bible says. Therefore, God sent his only begotten Son. It's the most famous text written everywhere. So God loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that all those who would believe in him will have eternal life.
akadzibula pansi kuti onse okhumbi asaleka ndani za mwanako bado akati onse okhumbi aone akale nezinzori na kuti zobwi
ya mama
na wangaye.
See, a lot of people go straight to the Lord Jesus.
And how many have got a straight way from what I say? Imagine.
And they think you have something in the person or resemblance of God in Jesus Christ. And I need to tell you something. I'm afraid it's happening here. Even many of the people on the island, they hear to believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior. But they don't believe he's the Son of God. And that's where we go wrong. Jesus Christ is God himself. You see, and this woman here asked, why did he suffer? We go now to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we say in our prayer, Lord Jesus, your word says, I can come to you. I come to your
room.
Help me. I need help. Help me. What does the Lord Jesus say? What does the Lord Jesus say? This is so beautiful. And I need you to pay attention. A sinner is before the Lord Jesus. And he says, help me, Lord Jesus. What does the Lord Jesus say? This is going to surprise you. You know what the Lord Jesus says? Do the will of my Father. You see? And someone, and we're teaching at the end there where it says do the will of God. And that's why I ask, what is the will of God? So the Lord Jesus says to the sinner, if you want my help, do the will of God. You see? Now we have to ask a very serious question. What is the will of the Father? Is the will of the Father? You are all thinking the will of the Father is to do his commandments. It's not true. That's the lie of Satan. What is to do the will of the Father? Help me. What's the will of the Father? Sinner is before the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus says, if you want my help, do the will of my Father. What is that?
What do you feel wrong again?
Help me.
It's not the wrong word.
Yes, to follow those rules.
No, that's not anywhere in the Bible. But I'm happy that you're saying it because that's exposing what our false beliefs are. But let me ask you. So thank you. Let's go back. I'm going to give you the answer. I hope you take it with you today. Sinner says to the Lord Jesus, help
you.
The Lord Jesus says, I can help you. And you do the will of the Father. The will of the Father is to just believe me. By faith that I have perfectly kept the law for you. That's why the Lord Jesus kept saying, when people come to him, have mercy on me. What does he say? What does he keep saying? What do you want me to do? What shall I do for you? Because he's saying to all those people, he's explaining to all those people, what is it really that you want? Someone says, I want to do the Ten Commandments so much better.
I want to be a better person.
But
I need you to help me. So I don't steal so much.
No.
The Lord Jesus says,
I
can't help you. But then he says to them, I can help you.
I can
do the will of God.
Which
is believe. That I, that I and my Father are one. And that I can speak one word and you're free. I can forgive your sins. And the only reason why I can do it, says the Lord Jesus, there's only one way I can do it. Is because I will take your place. Do you believe that? Have you been there? No, because so many people are saying, no, no, don't take my place.
Yeah, yes,
I just have to do better. I don't need you to take my place. I just need you to help me. And Jesus Christ says, I can't do anything. That's not the will of my Father. My Father is saying, Son, take his place. And Son says, Father, your will is my will. I will take the sins of these people. I will let myself be beaten. God beaten? God suffering? How is that possible? God will be willing to suffer and die? I'm not going to preach today.
So
just keep paying attention. I'm telling you the gospel in a teaching way. If there's a few of you still following me, I'm
going
to go a step further.
You
have to stay with me. So the Lord Jesus says, I will suffer. I will die. I will carry the curse. But now we have a problem. Let me ask you something. Is it possible for God to suffer? Tell me. That's what it was teaching. That was the catechism. If he's pure, if he's perfect, how can he suffer? That doesn't make sense. Because if I was pure, but I was suffering, if I was perfect and I was suffering, you would say you're not perfect then. Yes.
He's suffering because of love.
Right, but can God suffer? Is that possible?
All by himself, he cannot suffer.
All by himself?
By himself, he cannot suffer.
And yet he did.
But he didn't suffer.
He suffered.
And see.
See, this is the mystery that we're trying to teach you. And you recognize so much that we just don't even care about all of this. Listen, people. God can't suffer. He cannot suffer. Or he would no longer be God. Then he would no longer be perfect. So he can't suffer. How do we work this out? How do we do this then? Is the Bible lying? Is it tricking us? Let's go to the next step. Now God cannot suffer. So God in three, that one God, cannot suffer. But now we go to these three persons. Jesus Christ steps out.
Yes, we are.
He takes his human nature, goes to the cross. Following? Father and Holy Spirit stay there. And Jesus, in his divine nature, is still one God. But his human nature is going to go suffer. So
because even in the teaching, let's remember what the teaching brought us.
The teaching said, before in the Old Testament, they laid their hand on the lamb. And then they transferred their sins on that. Remember the teaching? That was Old Testament. But that was not for salvation. That didn't save them. They still went lost. Because although they put their hands on the lamb, Hebrews teaches us he can't take our sin away. What was the purpose of laying your hand on the lamb? You know what the purpose was? God was saying, sinner, you're putting your hand on the lamb. And you're representing the transfer of sin onto this lamb. Then the lamb is going to be sacrificed, die. And the representation is that you can go free. It's picture. The Old Testament is all pictures. Millions of people said, there's a lamb, put my hand on it. Now I'm saved. Thank you very much. And God was at the door. Saying, stop! You're not saved. And that's what we're saying to you. Stop! Don't think you are saved because you hear the gospel. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? See, because when they left, after the lamb was sacrificed, the third person, the Holy Spirit, is saying, sinner, you're going out. But you don't believe by faith that that lamb one day is going to be Jesus Christ. Don't just walk away and pretend your sins were on that lamb. That's only a picture. Now you need by faith to see that that lamb is Jesus. Christ. And sometimes one person would say, oh, I hear something different. Priest, tell me more. Is that lamb a picture of the Son of God? Yes. Tell me more about the Son of God. The Son of God will come like a lamb.
Yes, Christ has come like a lamb.
Loving.
My God.
The Son, he will go like a sheep goes to his shearers. He will open not his mouth. That lamb's coming. It's going to be born in the flesh of Jesus Christ. And a person that's very concerned for his soul would say, well, tell me more about
this.
And the priest would say, come with me, sinner. And the sinner would say, the one who brought the lamb said, you're going to
be
killed
with that. He's
going to grab his head,
put it
under his throat, and
he's going
to slice his throat. And all the blood
is
going. And then the sinner, the man would say, but the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to be slain like that. But the priest,
yes, he is.
He's going to go to the cross. And they were interested. Already 1,000 had gone away, they didn't care. They just brought the lamb.
anhu ambili akarambira kwa mianda wena amene samapira so ninkosa kango vili
but one
a few
wanted
to move mawena awida nalo amabwera ndi
kula zambi and the priest would say just like this
lamb
is being slaughtered.
Many of you
are
going to
put fire. He's going to beat you soon.
Right?
So the Lord Jesus Christ is going to hang on the cross. And the sins of his people are going to be burned up. And this person said, wow. So it's not actually my hands on the lamb. That's not making me better. I need to see through faith that he will do that for me too. You see? And that's exactly the same thing today. I'm preaching you a gospel. And either you're falling asleep.
And then I'm going to go
and you're tired.
And I go back
to go home.
I want to
you just like those other people who put their hands. That's how the gospel is preached. And that's how the gospel is received. Then what happens? Then, remember this third person
here.
Remember?
Parado,
who is he? Who is he?
Why you have a
the Holy Spirit. The sinner is before the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus says, do the will of my Father and believe in me. A sinner either says, no, I just want you to help me. Just help me do your commandments. That's all I want to do. And Jesus says, no, my Father's will is that you believe in me.
Yes,
ignore your father. I'm doing good already. Just help me do a little bit better. That can't work. But someone says, do the will of the Father believe in you? You will take my place? You'll take my curse? My sins? And make me free? What does he do next? He takes the feet of Jesus. He says, blessed Savior. I believe. Right? Now what's next? The saved sinner who believed goes to the Father. I thank you, Father, for giving your only son. For giving your only son in my place. I will worship you.
Yeah.
I adore you. Now, Father, help me so that I may worship you every day of my life. What does the Father say? You want help to worship me? I have a new mystery for you. Go to the third person. He will start telling you things.
You see, now I'm going to ask you something. If there is any here today who have received forgiveness of sin and life in Christ, do you have the hand of the Holy Spirit
on you?
How do we know? Listen carefully. How do I know if the Holy Spirit is indwelling in me? This is very plain. You know how you used to go like this? Can I come in? And the woman says, yes, come in.
Yes,
And for what? Now he's maybe even he's thinking about it. But the Holy Spirit has his hand on
him.
What does he do? Because he wants to worship the Father.
If we're not with that, I
think. He said, Father, I used to be a sinner. You know I used to go and be a woman all the time. Or if it's a woman, the woman will say, you know, I've taken men in all the time. But now that I have repented, help me to tell others. You know what happens? Then you begin to see people. You know, maybe a woman or a man. And you know, what do you do to them? You say, my friend, you can't go to the woman. I did that too. I've been saved by grace. You know what happens? When the Holy Spirit dwells in you, you know how your husband sometimes gets very angry. You know how much they
beat.
And that happens now when grace overcomes you. You know what happens? Then the husband, by grace, goes to his wife. And he goes on his knees. And he says, my wife, I used to do you harm. I used to make pain. God has forgiven me. That's what grace
says.
And you go to your friend. When the one whom you gossiped about, it's amazing, isn't it? That's what grace does. And grace says to your friend,
you were gossiping
so much of it. But God has forgiven you. Will you forgive me? That's what grace does. That's how you know if the Holy Spirit is indwelling in you. You go to each other. You go to Bible studies. And you go evangelize. And you go to
college.
You go to the people whom you know are stealing. And you say, we can do this, brother. I used to do it too. But I'm saved by grace. Not by
But by grace alone. Repentance is only the tool. Let me give you an example. When you have a hedge of trees. And it's all wild. And it's awful. And you snip them off. It looks beautiful. Do you then take this clippers, the one that you are playing with? The cutter? Do you then take that cutter and put it on the wall and say, you did such a good job? So same with repentance. You don't say, oh, I have repented, and my repentance has given me salvation. Repentance, so many people think we have to repent, and because we repent, we're going to heaven. No, if anyone here today is going to heaven, it's by grace alone in the person and work of Jesus Christ. He is your only hope. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is God, manifested in the flesh. And when he suffered in the flesh, when he suffered in his human nature, his divine nature remained divine. And when he rose from the dead, he got a new body. His human nature was again united with his divine nature. And when they were united again, they've been united to this day. And so you are going to see Jesus as he is. But you can see him by faith today. Not how he looks. Is he tall? Is he short? No. But he is the Son of God, so that you see God. And you believe in him. I'm calling out to you. I've told you about a gospel today. A gospel that can set you free. I've told you about the love of Jesus Christ and the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit. If you go on in your life without these three, without the forgiveness of sins, life everlasting will not be, but it will be eternal damnation, eternally without God, eternal hellfire, eternal pain, eternal misery. All who hear his voice today, harden not your hearts, but believe in Jesus Christ, even if it's for the first time in your life. Amen.